What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Design Daily, a podcast around design, creators, and life with candid conversations featuring creators across design disciplines, including architects, product designers, developers, artists, and others in the design realm, hosted by myself, Austin Beck. This is the first episode of Design Daily, and I'm super excited about it. This was actually a collaboration with a good friend of mine, Cody Deal from Real Deal Radio. This was actually me being on his podcast, but I thought this was the perfect opportunity, perfect timing to also feature this as the first couple episodes on my podcast, Design Daily, because I think it's really going to help some of you out there to get to know me better and get to know how I grew up, my background, my interests, why I'm starting this podcast, and what I'm doing now as a designer. And so I think it's going to be really good. The conversation was great, so we actually split it into two parts. This is part one. I think it's going to be very valuable to people in middle and high school. I mean, we talk about sort of growing up in Central PA and you know, if we have regrets in those things or if we should have changed anything. And then part two, the conversation shifts a little bit, but I think that'll be really good for people who are, you know, then in college and young professionals in the career and figuring out what they want to do. And so it's just a great conversation overall, and I had a lot of fun doing it. So thank you to Cody Deal, Real Deal Radio, and the All In Network. All right, so with that, let's get into it with Real Deal Radio.
So Austin, what's going on, my man? What's new? How are you feeling?
Hey man, what's up? I'm doing great. Fantastic right now, actually.
Yeah. Down in Virginia right now, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I've been traveling around a little bit. I know you up at the family's cabin recently, back at home in Central PA, kind of all over the place. Tell me a little bit about that. What have you been up to recently?
Yeah, I'd probably say I've done a little more traveling than most people during COVID. Not a lot, though. Just I live here in Virginia, but I was furloughed a couple months ago, and so I spent most of the time in PA with family, friends, up at grandparents' cabin, and just really hanging out, spending a lot of time with family, which has been awesome. And yeah, you know, not having a job and not having something to do every day, I have to do something to not just keep me busy, but to keep me sort of sane, because I'm used to creating, I'm used to doing things and that. So that's where I've switched to YouTubing, vlogging, creating videos, learning filmmaking, and that. And so yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
Definitely. It's been fun to watch too. Fun to watch and inspiring. And obviously we're going to talk a lot about that coming up here for sure. And how it's inspired me. I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here doing this right now if you wouldn't have started doing probably what you've been doing. Just to be completely honest, because like we've talked about it too. I broke this podcast news to you. You brought it up on a social media post. And it was kind of like you said that I should probably get into it. I said I was thinking about it. And then from there, we kind of just took off. And it all started because you started doing your thing. So definitely, you know,
appreciate really it,
happy
man.
That you've been doing that. Yeah, man, for sure.
Well, that's
for sure.
Like,
and I want to talk about that more for sure.
I mean, real quick, that's like you starting your podcast so fast is why I started mine so fast. And we could talk about that then, but it's just funny how that I was in my own mind telling me I need to be doing these things. And so I was telling you that, but yet I wasn't living that out myself for some other stuff in my life.
Yeah. It's so easy to do that, right? I feel like I've done that a lot in my life. It's really easy sometimes to give advice, and it's sometimes hard to take your own advice. You know what I mean? A lot of people see this with like relationship advice, you know, life advice, business advice. And sometimes it's really easy to tell other people what they should do instead of like, you know, just putting the mirror on yourself and then saying, I gotta do this too.
Yeah,
exactly. There's no risk. There's no risk for someone else if someone else is taking your advice. But if you do it and it fails, then it's bad on you. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
don't really believe in failure. You know, you always got to try this stuff. So I'm glad you did. I'm glad I'm doing this. And I'm glad we're having this conversation. I'm really excited to
talk me to too, you. For sure.
Obviously in the intro, you know, it said a little bit about how, you know, how long I've known you and we've been friends for a while, but this stuff is really fun because we love talking, we love catching up. So this should be pretty cool. We'll start back at the beginning. You know, not maybe not the beginning, but we'll go back in time a little bit when you were younger. What I like to do with these is kind of get like a little bit of background on you first, on my guest first, and then kind of move into the, you know, the substance of the podcast, you know, your careers and your passions and what you're doing with your life now. So we'll go back a little bit. Tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, obviously, you know, where you're from, you're growing up, family life, high school, middle school, all that kind of stuff. Just kind of run me through the story of Austin Beck a little bit.
Yeah. Grew up Central PA, Palmyra, next to Hershey, for those who don't know. But moved there when I was 3 and went to the same school. I went to Hershey Christian my whole life, kindergarten through 12th grade. And let's see. From even a young age, just lots of sports. Like my life, elementary, middle, high school was all sports. Yep. Watching, playing soccer, basketball, the main ones, and like just consuming sports all the time. Mm-hmm. which, you know, I feel like a lot of people do, and I still love sports, but it's growing up, like I wanted to be a professional athlete, and my mom was like, all right, you need like a plan B. And I was like, okay. Oh, instead of being a professional soccer player, I'll be a professional basketball player. She's like, that's great, but like maybe a plan C. And I was like, professional football player. And I never even played football. I didn't even play basketball until later in middle school. So I don't know what I was thinking when I was like 8, but it was pretty much all sports. I mean, I also was interested in the arts and buildings, and that relates to my career, but it really didn't, like, that stuff didn't come to fruition or didn't really come to the forefront of who I am until very late in high school and then in college. Great childhood growing up in Central PA, and I went to school out of state, and now I live in Virginia, and it definitely, being away for a while now, it makes me appreciate where I'm from even more.
Mm-hmm. And 717, man, that PA dream. We talk about this all the time.
Yeah, and I just love going back, and I love being home. And it's just, I never thought I'd say that. I never thought like, oh, like I would want to live here later. Because in high school, I'd always thought like, there's nothing to do around here.
Yeah, like you just can't wait to get away, right? I think a lot of people can.
But now I'm like, I think there's so much to do. Like, mm-hmm. if you just want to drive a little bit, there's so much to do. Like, it offers so much, and I appreciate it so much more. And so I'm super thankful for growing up in Central PA.
Yeah, definitely. Great place to live, obviously. You know, I feel the same way. We, like I said, we talked about this at length. Some future business ideas, hopefully, we can get off the ground for you here with the PA stuff. But, so that's very relatable. Obviously, the sports thing. I mean, I think until I was 21, I wanted to be a professional athlete. So I totally get that. My first memories of you when I came to Hershey Christian in fifth grade were recess, right? It was like we would be playing football recess. And that was the time when Reggie Bush and USC was going crazy. And you were Reggie Bush. To all of us, you were like Reggie Bush, bro, just running around the athlete. Obviously, it was fun times, man. I have vivid memories of those days. It was a lot of fun.
I remember that.
Yeah, right? I remember that was like the real thing.
I thought it was so cool. It's funny how times have changed, you know.
Yeah.
I'm more like Derrick Rose with my knees giving out than Reggie Bush. But
right. It happens though. It happens. And it you know, you had played a lot of soccer. You know, you were able to do a little bit, maybe not as much as you would have liked, but at least you were able to have a bit of a career there and have some fun with it. So that's all that really matters. I feel like the way your life has transitioned, you know, has worked out fine, even though you're not a pro athlete. I think you're still making a cool impact on the world, which
the
is
vast,
you know,
majority
all that really
of people,
matters.
Vast majority nobody's of people a pro don't athlete. Go pro. So
exactly. Okay, cool. So just going back a little bit more about the high school life. Another thing I like to do is just kind of get my guests' views on things they may have done differently or advice that they might have for kids. Because I've talked to some kids, even since my first show came out, there's been a lot of younger kids that have listened to these, and I hopefully will listen to them. So just wanted to get your perspective on a couple of things. So the first thing that I'd ask you, in terms of your high school life, we'll just paint this as just high school for right now. What's one thing that you would have done differently in your time in high school?
One thing I would have done differently in high school.
Putting you on the spot, man. It's an interview.
That's tough.
even if there's more than one, is there anything that you could, that comes to mind that, you know, maybe if you could go back and do something differently, not that necessarily even a regret, but is there anything that maybe you would just go about differently or you would add it to your life?
Honestly, I don't know. Like,
so are you saying everything worked out fine? I mean, obviously, you don't have regrets. Exactly.
No regrets at all. I mean, I feel like high school was great at the time. Yeah. I thought like this is the best, and looking back on it, I'm like, it was high school.
Yeah. We had a good time.
I can't say like, oh, I should have studied more. I should have studied less, or like,
you got pretty good grades. I mean, it's not really, there wasn't really a lack there, I would imagine.
Yeah, grades were good. I still like was I. At that time, though, I was still conscious of like, well, if I study for 5 more hours, that may get me like 2 percentage points. So why would I waste that time? It's not worth it to me. And I was conscious of that then, and like still in college conscious of that. But I feel like high school was just a lot of sports, a lot of hanging with friends, and like getting my work done. And then, you know, once 10th, 11th grade came around, really buckling down on grades and stuff for college. So I can't say I would have changed anything. Maybe the one thing is taking art. Like, we only had one art class, and maybe taking it more seriously or being more invested in it. I just didn't have the like desire to want to learn more and want to gain more out of that class, because it was a super open class. Or the earlier years, some was like, this is a like a pottery studio, or this is like painting or like oil painting or something. Whereas later it was pretty open and you could do whatever. And it would have been nice, I think, to take more advantage of that. But I didn't have that interest at the time.
Exactly. And hindsight is 2020 with that. I mean, obviously at the time you may not have known what your life would turn into down the road. So now looking back, maybe that would have been beneficial to you. But I get that. It's not something that maybe at the time you would have even been able to fully, you know, appreciate. But that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, I you're somebody who's always really handled your business, and I know you really enjoyed your life. So I kind of expected that answer from you, but I still had to ask to see if there would be anything different at all. Okay. So just moving on a little bit from that one, then, is there anything, it kind of goes hand in hand with that one, and it might be the same answer, but in terms of like your time management and what you spent your time doing in high school, is there anything that you wish you would have given more time to? And obviously the art is one thing, maybe if you could have, you know, had the foresight to know that you'd be, you know, a creator one day. Is there anything else that maybe you wish you would have done more of? Like, for example, like just to give you an example, like personally in high school, I wish I would have actually studied more. Like I wish I would have tried to learn more. Maybe like use the resources I had at my fingertips more, like actually go to a library and read things. Cause now that we're in our mid 20s, we talk about this all the time. I love learning new things. I feel like my new, you know, mission in life is kind of be a student of life and just learn as much as I can. In high school, I just wanted to, you know, go to school, hang out with my friends, and then hoop after school. And that was all that mattered at all. So one thing, like obviously I could have learned more, wish I would have taken care of my body more, spent more time in the weight room, things like that. Is there anything that you wish you would have done more while you were in high school?
I think it's going to be, I don't do it that much now. I do it more than in high school, but I feel like I wish I would have appreciated the, like my English class and literature more. Okay. And because it's something like, I'm not sure if I'm going to sit down and read like The Great Gatsby again or something.
Right. So do you mean like what the content was? Like you wish you would have maybe immersed yourself a little bit more in the stuff they wanted you to read? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's because like a lot of it, I mean, a lot of it, I was like half in it. I was reading because I had to, but I wasn't fully like in it. I wasn't understanding it. I was spark noting it to understand like, all right, I can read one page to understand this 50 pages, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I think that kind of hurt me though now. Like I never had interest in reading, and I think that also hurt me growing up too, because I'm a very slow reader and I enjoy it more now. I'm not like reading all these books, but it is something I enjoy. But I feel like then later in high school and then beginning of college are some things I just kind of struggled with. Like you had to read a lot, and it's like, this is going to take me forever because I'm a slow reader, because I never did it. And like, we read these great books, and I don't know. I just wish I was more into it. It's kind of like the similar with art class and whatnot. I just didn't have this desire or interest at all. And it's not like, it's not something that's like, oh, I could have done that. It's, I mean, I could have, but it's kind of also a heart thing. I just wish there was that desire more and interest.
For sure. And I think there's something to be said too about our education system in America. And I think a lot of people are the exact same way as you, not to, you know, to go off about our public education system, but there's no inspiration in the stuff that they're asking students to do. Right. So we get those summer reading lists. Don't even read them. We just look them up on Spark Notes. Like there's no interest that's developed in it. It's kind of just like, you have to do this, and then you're going to write a report on it, and then we're going to have a test on it. At the end of the year, we'll have a final on it. And it's just kind of like, I understand how you would not have that desire, because I didn't have that desire either. I just wanted to get it done just to get it done with. I mean, there's some books that we read that I know were like American classics that I don't even remember. I just know that I read a couple chapters and then got the rest of it off Spark Notes and wrote a decent paper. Because being an intelligent person, like, you can write a paper sometimes without even reading the book. You know what I mean? I'm sure you can know that about that. So it's like, it's a bad system. So I think that's a good point you bring up. And honestly, I don't think you're really completely to blame for that. I mean, we want kids to be inspired to learn. I think the education system needs to do some of that inspiring, but you know, that's just me. That's just,
it's a rant. It could definitely, it definitely could, for sure. Exactly.
We don't have to overall
that, but it's, kids have interest in certain things, and like, maybe they should tailor the education in some way to those interests rather than have this broad education. But
exactly. Broad, somewhat useless.
I don't know. That's not my, knowledge.
It's not us. Not up to us.
On it.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
I've just experienced.
Maybe one day we can make a change.
I'll right. talk.
We all went through it. That's for sure. Yeah, exactly. We did experience it. That's for sure. Okay. So that makes sense. That makes sense. Let's see here. So obviously, you know, you like the sports and the art. So just talking a little bit more about the art, because obviously now being, you know, what you're trying to do a little bit more of online content creation, YouTubing, vlogging, podcasting. At the time, did you have any indication at all? Now, I know we'll talk more about your architecture career as well. And I know that's obviously heavily influenced by art. I mean, it's a form of art. But in terms of like what your interests were in high school, were you interested in that kind of stuff? Like the YouTube vlogging type things, like the digital creation? Was that even on your radar? Or is that something that is like kind of, obviously it's blown up since we've gotten older, but in high school, was that even a thought in your mind?
No, not at all. Okay. I mean, I didn't watch that much YouTube. You know, I mean, we had like a family computer. I wasn't on it that much. It was just there to like do papers and stuff. But obviously times have changed. Like more people are consuming content on YouTube and online than they are TVs. And, you know, that was range of high school was 8 to 10 years ago. So YouTube was a lot younger then, and the content was different for sure. Right. And I wasn't consuming much of it. And I also never thought like, oh, I could do this. I could be at the time, like, Phil DeFranco, Jenna Marbles, Ray William Johnson equal three, like, you know,
it shows, man. That equals three. I forgot about that. I used to watch.
Yeah. It was the biggest show on YouTube, like 2011 or whatever.
Yeah.
No, it never crossed my mind at all.
Yep. And I feel that 100%. I feel like a lot of kids, maybe now it's a whole different scenario, right? It probably is the thought in the mind of a lot of people. Hopefully it is, because it's a great way to create for yourself and express yourself. But I couldn't agree more. I mean, it just never would have even, it wouldn't have even been like a possibility or even something I really wanted to do. You know what I mean? It's interesting how things change like that.
Yeah. Kind of develop as I mean, we'd make some videos for like classes. We'd be like, oh, the group project, like, can we make a video or a song or something rather than write a paper? And like, we'd throw like that up on YouTube or something, and that would be it.
Yeah. Right. Which it shows, I mean, that's kind of our generation and the generations coming after us, just our kind of inclination for the digital world. You know what I mean? It's something that's completely different probably than, you know, what our teachers wanted to do when they were younger. They probably may not even understand some of it. So yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Good way to get started in it too. Okay. So then obviously I mentioned you became an architect, went to school for architecture, and that was something that, at what point in your high school career did you think that that was the direction you wanted to go with your career path when you were done with school?
Honestly, it was when I was super young. Yeah. I knew even in middle school, even honestly, elementary school, I knew I wanted to like build structures or buildings. And at the time it was like engineer or architect, like something in that. I was always kind of the classic Legos, Lincoln Logs, Connects, but also I was just using like clay, Play-Doh, paper, and just taping and stuff and building structures using blocks. Like I was always making something.
Yeah.
And the interest just kind of carried, and I was like, who does this? Like, I like this. Who does this? It's a job. Like, who gets to do this?
How can I get paid for this?
Yeah. Well, once I realized I wasn't going to be a professional athlete, I thought, okay, I got to
get a got to make some money somehow.
And
yeah,
it kind of came to a head then in maybe like 10th, 11th grade when I got serious about looking at colleges and figured I got to go to college for this. But I didn't know, what is it going to be, like an engineer in architectural engineering and whatnot. And through just like college visits, talking to people in the field, I knew I wanted to pursue architecture because it's more on the art side than the engineering is. And I knew I wanted that. And I went to one, it happened to be civil engineering, so not even like architectural structural, but I went to this one civil engineering tour and it was awful. I hated it. I was like, I'm not doing this. And that kind of like anything that was engineer, I was like, I don't want to do that. And I mean, I went to a architecture camp the one summer after 10th grade too at Penn State. And that helped solidify like, okay, I kind of like, this is what I think I want to do.
Got you. Okay. That makes sense. And I think that's really cool. And I think that a lot of people need to follow that artistic or creative or whatever it was that you had a knack for when you're young. If you can follow that for as long as you can and somehow get paid for it, that's got to be, you know, one of the ways to, you know, ensure that you're a little bit more happy along the way in life. You know what I mean? Because clearly it's something that you, from a young age, you were inclined towards, something you enjoyed doing. And it's obviously a little different now. You're making real buildings instead of Lego buildings, but still it's kind of, you know, it goes hand in hand. It's the same kind of path. So that makes a lot of sense. I think that's really cool. And actually, I don't know if I really even knew that. I mean, I knew that in high school that it was a thing, but going all the way back from like a young kid that you kind of had that vision in your mind, I think is really cool. Besides obviously wanting to be a pro athlete, having another thing that you're into is a cool way to go about it. Okay. So you knew what you wanted to do. And I think there's some kids who are like that. You know, I was not one of those kids. Well, I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to play basketball. So that was what influenced my college decision pretty much entirely. But you also knew what you wanted to do. So how did that factor into your college decision? And what kind of things were you weighing when you were deciding where you needed to go to be able to study this? Because I know there was a lot of thought put into it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, it was – I feel like so many things in my life have been a roller coaster. And that one was because
– Yeah.
I mean, being – from Central PA, growing up in PA, like I wanted to go to Penn State my whole life. Like that was it. I was going to go to Penn State, like no doubt in my mind. And also because of going to small school my whole life, I just loved sports and had gone to games and I was like, I just want to do it. So, and they have a good architecture program. And then I was like, well, I got to look at other schools too. Well, there's, I think three schools in PA that have architecture, Penn State, Temple, and Drexel. And I didn't even look at Temple. I didn't want to go. And then looked at Drexel and just didn't like it. It's like, nah. And I was also only looking at schools that didn't require a portfolio because I felt like I didn't have work. I took an art class this semester. I didn't feel like the work was very good. And I was like, I didn't have these CAD classes or other classes that larger schools offer to be like, oh, I know this CAD programmer. Oh, I made this, or I took this drafting class or whatnot. So I was like, well, I just got to look at schools that don't require that. Cause if they require it, like I have nothing. And so then, other school that came up was Virginia Tech. And so I only applied to Penn State and Virginia Tech. And, you know, toward Tech, love Tech. I thought the campus was cool. They're very similar schools in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty much solely based on, does this school require a portfolio or not? And do they have a good architecture program? Mm-hmm. That was it. So
okay. Makes
good
sense.
Things for sure. Like purely looking at it academically, you know, nothing else really. And basically, I didn't get into architecture at either of the schools, but I was accepted into the landscape program at Penn State, but I had initially received an email saying I wasn't accepted at all. And so I panicked and was like, well, that was end of January. And then Tech only sends out their submissions like end of March. It's late. So all the other applications for other schools like ends like February at some time. So if I would have waited, didn't get in, I would have had nowhere to go, which wouldn't have been the worst thing looking back on it, like a gap year or something. But in my mind, I was like, I don't know what I'll do. So then I applied to one school that just had architecture. It happened to be Ohio State. Went toward it. I was like, I don't want to go here, but toward it. And I was like, yo, this place is awesome. Once again, it was solely around sports and they're like athletic facilities and like gyms and stuff is awesome. It wasn't so much around academics.
Right. So talk about though, just to, you know, mention, I mean, talk about three amazing schools. Like if you're going to go tour a school, talk about schools that would wow you by their athletics and their facilities and what the campuses look like. I mean, Ohio State, Penn State, and Virginia Tech, three of probably the most beautiful, storied, you know, athletically successful schools in the country. So that makes sense for sure.
Yeah, but I wasn't going for athletics, which is funny. I'm just
well,
like,
watch them. I mean, to watch them.
I'm just still wowed. Like, yeah, that's true. And sort of this is a bit long story short is then I was like, yeah, I'm going to Ohio State. But thankfully, my mom was like, I don't think this is a good decision. And I was all for Ohio State for 2 weeks. And then she was like, I think we need to rethink this because you'll be in so much debt that it'll be unreal. I was like, okay, you know, I trust you. Sure. And I was like fine with that. And so then it was like, all right, do I go to Penn State for landscape architecture and try to transfer architecture? Or I got into tech, but not architecture. They have separate requirements. Or do I go to tech and try to transfer in? And basically I knew a friend, sort of an acquaintance that was going to tech and transferred into the, he was at tech and he transferred into the program. After his first year. So I knew like there was a set route and it was possible to do it. Whereas at Penn State, it was sort of like on your GPA and if there's space and essays and things. And I'm like, well, that's not my strong suit. My strong suit is like, if there's a summer program, we're doing these classes, like I'll put in the work, I'll do it. You know, it just can't be around like Rudy's writing papers or things that I'm just not going to, like, I'm not skilled in that. So I decided to go to Virginia Tech. And I mean, that was the best decision I made for sure. Like that was the right school for me.
Definitely. I know that's true. And one thing I regret in my 4 years of school is not visiting you one time down there, which is, I really messed up with that. Cause yeah, I know, man, how much fun you had. I know how much fun you guys all had, the whole squad that we had. And like, you guys were just, you were having a great time. So I definitely regretful about that, but I know you enjoyed it. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. Just one more question, I guess, kind of like to close off the transition to college. For anyone listening to this who might be in high school right now, whether they're, you know, maybe a junior, senior year, maybe even they still don't know where they're going. Is there any advice that you would give to a kid that's trying to weigh his college decisions or if he's going to go to school or what his thought process or his or her thought process should be?
Yeah. One, I feel like this could be we had talked about the education system and this could be another whole discussion as well. And I mean, so many of us are swamped in loans. I'm swamped in loans. And it's this is sort of like a two-part. I'm talking both sides because I don't think you have to go to college. Like, say someone's unsure if they should, then don't.
Definitely
like,
not.
Have a gap year, you know, or just don't take on that debt if, like, you don't want to. And there's people who go to college who, like, don't know what they want to do and they find it out. That's great. You know, it is one way to find out sort of, like, what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But it's also a way to take on a lot of debt. Like if you drop out or get a degree in something you're not going to use or you're not interested in. And also like if you know what you're going to do though, doctor, lawyer, like something that requires a degree, then I'd say I looked at rankings, even though they're a little bit biased, but like I looked at architecture program rankings and tech was consistently in the top five of the best undergrad programs in the country, up there with, it was like Cornell, Cal Poly, Syracuse, Tech, and like University of Texas, like consistently top five best programs. And I mean, you could look at that, but you know, I think it should be heavily based on the academics in the program, but also like, you got to be realistic with your finances and if you can afford it and if it's a wise decision. And that kind of goes with, if you don't know what you want to do, or if you're unsure of something, maybe wait, maybe go to a community college. Or if you're interested in like something that could be digital media or marketing or like content creation or something, like anything that's very heavily digital like that, you can learn on your own. There's free resources online. There's YouTube to learn. There's classes for, you know, 25 to like 40 bucks you can take to learn a skill. There's like coding boot camps. So there's a lot of things that you can learn for free or for very cheap if like that's something you're interested in as well. And I think that's only going to become more and more prevalent and only become more common for people. You know, obviously you'll learn a lot of things in school, but if you're out here like just grinding, watching tutorials online or something, taking classes, and you're out doing it on your own, like that's another way to learn that I think you can easily become successful that way. And definitely. I mean, that kind of goes like with the college system. And like, if you looked at, I mean, just over 100 years ago, it was a similar way. And then only in the past, maybe 80 years, has it been like, you need to go to college for this, blah, like you have to go.
Yeah. Right.
But also look into the program, because for architecture, for me, I couldn't go to a community college first and get like gen eds out of the way. You can for some, but like architecture takes a 5-year bachelor of architecture. So it's a professional degree, meaning I can come out and be licensed. If I had a 4-year degree, I have to go to grad school to become a licensed architect. So you need to look at these things and also realize, in architecture going, let's say I went to a community college, got these gen eds done, that's great, save some money, but I still have to spend 5 years at Tech. Right. I still have to put in the years. Like, I could be a part-time student and I could reduce the finances, but I still have to do another 5 there in person.
It makes sense. Yeah.
So, you know, you definitely have to do your research heavily into these things that you may not realize. And that those are things like, if you know, like, this is what you want to do, then like, yeah, you know, that's how it was for me. Like, I knew this is what I want to do, and so I did as much research as I could.
Gotcha. Which is, I think, super important. And maybe just kind of to take everything you just said there and maybe sum it up, is do some research and know what you're signing up for, right? So if you know what kind of program you want to be in, you got to understand, you know, what schools are going to be able to offer that and give you the skills that you need, which ones you're going to want to look at, exactly like you did. Or if you don't really know what you want to do, I mean, like, that was kind of the situation I was in. Like I said, I wanted to play basketball, but I didn't know what I wanted to study. So I just went to school and I was like, I'll figure this out later, which that's okay too. But I, you know, I still wish I would have done at least a little bit more research, knowing how much school is going to cost me for the next 10, 15 years of your life. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you're going to have to pay for it eventually, unless you're lucky enough to get a scholarship, which I think is great. But I think, yeah, just to summarize what you said, and I totally agree with all of that. I think it's just important to know what you're signing up for, and you don't want to just fall into the American education machine without understanding what comes with that. You know what I mean? So yes, you might end up with some loans. You just got to understand how much you're going to be paying, if that's going to be worth it to you in the long run, what kind of money you might be making with the career that you think you might want. If you don't know, you know, what kind of career you think you might want to go into, there's nothing wrong with taking a gap year. Like you said, you can learn pretty much anything online now. I mean, some jobs may not hire you, but sometimes you can work for yourself. I mean, there's just a lot of different ways you can go, different ways to go about it. But I think what you said was really good. It's just important to research it and know what you're getting into, know what you're signing yourself up for. And it can make a huge difference in people's lives.
I mean, how much money they're going to have to spend. You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, financially, like, a huge factor in, I think, a lot of people's minds, because you have to live and make money just to survive. You really just have to do the research and really think about all these things. But that's not to say you can't just like live and like figure it out. You can do that, but
it works out for some
people to be wise in these decisions that are huge. I mean, this is like, if I go to school, like this is thousands of dollars for something. Right. So it's not like you can just be like, oh yeah, sign me up. I mean, that's like in high school, I didn't understand how much money this was.
Me neither. Not at all.
I didn't know how to budget. I didn't know how to budget. I barely knew how to do my laundry. I couldn't cook. I didn't know what my mom would be like, you're going to pay this for the next 20, 25 years of your life. And I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. And like, that's to me, like that's so long now. And also thinking like the amount of money, like I just didn't understand the concept of like, I have to pay that every month. Like whatever, that's fine. And now I'm like, that's an absurd amount that I'd have to pay every month because I'm only making this.
Exactly.
And I just had no concept of it in high school, like just zero.
Yeah. I think most kids don't. I didn't. Most of the people that I talked to didn't. I mean, if you were lucky enough to either get that knowledge from your parents or if you had maybe a guidance counselor that could break it down for you, I don't ever remember discussing student loans with my guidance counselor, you know what I mean? Or even with my parents, it was kind of just like, I mean, yeah, like this is how much it's going to cost. This is how much the school's going to give me to come, you know, to come to school there. And then the rest I'll have to pay back eventually, but it's, you know, it's a loan, you know what I mean? It's just a loan. We kind of like get pushed off. Like, it's a student loan. Everybody does it. You don't have to.
Yeah.
And it's something I just wish I would have thought more about. Not to say that I wouldn't have gone to school where I went, because I absolutely loved it. I know you feel the same way. It was a really rewarding thing. I wouldn't change anything, but I just wish I would have thought more about it. So if there's anything, I mean, I'll say this in every podcast I ever have for any high school kid listening to this, just think about what you're signing up for before you sign up for it is all that matters. As long as you're aware of it and you're willing to accept it, do your thing and live your life how you want to, but just make sure you're aware. So, okay. That's definitely some good stuff. Good stuff. So a little bit about the college experience. Obviously Virginia Tech, great school, had a lot of fun down there. What was your favorite thing about going to Virginia Tech? What was the best thing to you, the best part of your experience?
Dude, just everything.
Yeah, it was a great time.
I mean, I couldn't have asked for a school that fit me better.
Yeah.
It's a college town in Southwest Virginia in the mountains. But like, you know, people who know like State College, it's kind of similar to that, just slightly smaller, like everyone's diehard fans.
Yep.
Like the town doesn't exist without the university, and the architecture program is phenomenal. I had phenomenal professors. I met awesome people, and also the food was great. For a large university, Tech was ranked consistently in the top three of best campus food in the country, and usually the other two are like these small private schools. So
right.
I mean,
that's a game changer.
It's just the best changer. Like we could go, and besides like having Chick-fil-A, Qdoba, and like these other chains on campus on your meal plan, it's I could go and get a steak, super nice steak. I could get lobster. Like if I'm gonna blow through my meal plan, if I want to blow through my meal plan, I can get that.
Would they have like a steakhouse on campus? Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, there's like five, six different dining halls, and like you can get different food, different places. Wow. And it runs like a debit system. So it's not like an all you can eat dining hall. There's one like that, but the food for people who know, like the food is for sure. Like that was a huge plus.
That's a game changer. I remember, I mean, the food in my school was pretty good. I mean, I liked it a lot. It worked out well for me. I liked it a little bit too much, honestly. I mean, you've seen me. So clearly, I liked it a little bit too much. But that's a game changer for sure. Something that another thing too, which you mentioned, obviously you did a lot of it. I did a lot of it too. When you're considering schools, you want to go eat the food. You want to go see the campus. You want to go get as much of the experience as you can beforehand, so you know what it's, you know, maybe a little bit going to be like. Did you know going into it, like when you went down there, did you like eat some of the food in one of the dining halls and were like, wow, this is really good, man? Was it even like
no, a five we went moment? We went to Chick-fil-A.
But it's on campus. Was it on campus? They had a Chick-fil-A on campus?
Yeah.
Or is it like right? Oh my gosh, bro. What?
Yeah, that would have been dangerous, bro. On the meal plan. Because I'd only eat Chick-fil-A maybe like once or twice a year. Because there weren't any around us. It's like, we go to the beach, like we'll get it on the way, like through Philly or something. And so I never had it. So I was like, yo, Chick-fil-A is so good. Like, they have one here. Like, why would I try the campus food when I could have Chick-fil-A?
There's not even a point. Right. I get that. For
yeah.
Sure.
So I didn't even try the food.
Yeah.
But they even that enough. Oh, it's super good. But I was like, yeah, Chick-fil-A is good enough for me.
Chick-fil-A. I couldn't agree, but I think that's so funny you say that, because I remember as like a high school kid in like middle school, high school, the only time I ever got Chick-fil-A was when I would go visit my cousin and my aunt and uncle in Virginia, because they had them down there. And I just, other than that, like I never had it. So it was almost like a special occasion. So I would have been the same way. If I would have gone to a school and there was a Chick-fil-A on the campus, I would have been feeling some type of way too, man. That's crazy. So that was a good thing to find out once you got to campus then, how good the food was. What would be, not to like get into anything negative, but what was a struggle that you had? Like, were there any struggles that you had transitioning to college? Like, what was the hardest thing for you going from, obviously, you're, you know, Hershey Christian School, small class size, and then you're going to one of the biggest schools in the country. Well, maybe not one of the biggest schools, but a huge university. What was a struggle, if there were any struggles for you?
Yeah. It was a slight adjustment there, coming from like a class of graduating class of 15 to, you know, a school of 30 plus thousand people, where now my class is like 6,000-7,000 people. So that was a slight adjustment, but I, what helped a lot and also helped me get into the architecture program is I went through this program called Summer Academy, and I heard about it, and it happened to be the first year it was happening. And there was a similar program in place in architecture already that you could go through the summer after your first year to like take a studio to transfer in to the architecture program. And so this was modeled after that. And I heard my friend told me about it, and I solely signed up to then go to Tech early for summer classes before the fall, solely to get my foot in the door, to get face to face with the professors, to, you know, have them know me, to understand more just about the program, and to have them like know my face, so that when freshman year comes, like I can know them, I can like be in the studio and show my face, just so that I can somehow get into the program. And so I went down then in July and had 5-6 weeks of classes before all the students came. So it was kind of a nice transition of I'm there with several other 100 students, like maybe 100, 200 students in this program, and then other random people taking classes on campus. So it was a nice transition to get to know campus, get to know where certain spots are, the town, all of that transition before everyone was there. You know, there was way less people. And then ultimately, and so ultimately then through that program, I was able to transfer into architecture. I didn't know that, but at the end they were like, you know, we know you're interested, we have space, like, do you want to transfer into the program? And I obviously said yes, so I didn't have to go an extra year, because the plan would have been then be at Tech 6 years, which glad that didn't happen. But looking back, I had so much confidence then once everyone else came, even though there were so many more people. I had so much and I didn't know anyone. That's the other thing, like, I didn't know a single person. Well, I knew of one person, but we weren't very close. But I didn't know anyone else going into Tech. So it made me have so much confidence going in to be like, I know how to do this stuff. Like, I know where all these spots are on campus. Like, I felt like I had a leg up on all the freshmen who didn't know anything. And even the people who were like coming in with all these friends from high school or something. So that helped a lot for sure. But it still was a little bit tough sometimes.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but did you move into a dorm? I know you said you didn't know anybody. So you came in, did you have like one roommate and that was kind of your first connection there? Or how did you get involved with other people? How did you meet other people?
Yeah, I mean, the first was Summer Academy, the program.
Right.
You know, you're with, I think it was like 20, 30 other students, and we're in the same class, like in studio all the time, and you get to know them. And so then naturally when the beginning of the year came, it was like, hey, I've met these people already. Like, I'm going to hit them up and we'll hang out more. Yeah. And so that's kind of what happened. None of them lived on my hall. Okay. I had a random roommate. He happened to be a junior. So it was a little strange.
Yeah, that's weird.
They don't do that. They don't allow that now.
They don't
allow that now because there's not enough space. But I lived on like a living learning community. So you had to apply for it. And I guess he applied. Okay. And that So that definitely helped. It still was like a little bit overwhelming with some of the people, or just like trying to figure out, like, I got to go to these other classes. Cause like I knew studio and architecture, but I didn't know, like, where do I find this other class? How does this Scantron work? Like, am I going to screw this up and they give me a zero? And that, but other than that, it was pretty smooth. Cause you made friends pretty quickly. Cause everyone
wants to be
friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That makes sense. And that's a good thing. I think probably, you know, not to make all this just like advice hour, but for kids going into school, the most important thing you can try to do is just put yourself out there, meet new people. Everybody is new, right? Everybody's new with you. For the most part that you're going to be around, the majority of people are going to be newer. So they're all kind of in the same boat. You know, it's important to put yourself out there. You're going to develop some amazing relationships, but it starts with, you know, just making that first impression, making that first effort to try to get to know some other people and put yourself out there. So that's a cool program that they had. I don't think I knew much about that. I don't know if we've talked about it before, but that summer program sounds really cool. A cool transition to have. Like it's pretty amazing. More schools should do stuff like that. I know my school had something like that. But I didn't participate in it, but I know there was something, but I wish there would have been more information about it. And I don't know if schools push that enough. Cause I think that's a game changer for sure. Cause not everybody, you know, is outgoing. Not everybody is, you know, able to just walk up to people and say, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so, what, you know, you want to go grab some food at the dining hall or, you know, go shoot some hoops at the rec court or something like that. So stuff like that is really cool. That's cool that they offered like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely grown since then. And you're right. I don't know if other schools have it. I mean,
did you say it was the first year you did it was the first year they had it?
Yeah. And like, it's like, it went from just maybe like 100 students. Now there's like, I mean, hundreds and hundreds, maybe like maybe 1,000 or more.
Yeah. A
like,
big number
of people. And that's like, awesome. they have more programs because before it was just a limited number of like classes. Mm-hmm. But even back then still, I wasn't like super outgoing and, I had a little confidence just cause like I knew some things. So I'd suggest things like, oh, let's try this. And like, I don't know what that is. And like, oh, like I'll show you. Or
right.
Also
you like, kind of lead the way a little bit.
Yeah. But it wasn't my nature, but I knew like I have to make friends and like, there's probably people on this hall that are cool. And same, like my go-to was then like sports. It was like, yo, like, do you want to go play like pick up basketball? Or like, I'm trying to form a intramural soccer team, like do you play soccer? Mm-hmm. And that started it with like people in my hall who I'm really good friends with still to this day, was being like, yo, do you play soccer, you want to start an IM team?
That's awesome. A good way to do it. I mean, the way sports brings people together is unbelievable. You know, it's one of my favorite things about it. Pretty much everything, not everything, but a lot of good things in my life have come directly from sports. So I totally get that. And it's important to have those kind of things where it's, you know, how are you going to be able to relate to other people? You know, that's how
you build. And it's super easy to ask them, like, hey, I'm Austin.
It's a harmless question. And yeah, if they're going to say no to that, like,
do you want to play on a team? It's like, super. I mean, you can't, I don't know if you can't get any easier than that.
Definitely not. I totally agree. Okay. So I know good time at Tech. You know, so just some similar questions that I kind of asked about your high school experience. Is there anything while you were at Tech that you would have done differently? I know you love the experience.
There's way more, I mean, I don't regret anything.
Right?
But there's way more. I think it's just because it shaped me more than high school. Right, so there's like way more that I think I would have done differently looking back. One, like my time management sucked. Mm-hmm. It was awful. And there's sort of this culture around architecture that like the less sleep you get, like the better like designer or better person you are.
Yeah. Which you were like always upgraded, man.
Such bogus.
Always.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, at one point I kept a record of how many all nighters I pulled and I was like proud of it. And looking back, I'm like, it's just stupid. Cause
it's not helping.
I probably would have been close to 100 in like the 5 years.
It's crazy.
And I mean, there's 1 year I was like, I did one every week for like that whole year. It was just stupid. And there's a bad culture around it. And also like one of my roommates, he didn't pull a single all nighter and he graduated top of our class. Like awesome.
So it's not necessary.
And I'm just like completely not. So I wish, I wish I like just would have managed my time better overall. And had been more focused in things. I mean, I was so focused on studio. Like, studio is the main class. Studios, it's like a class, a place, and like a classroom. Or like, it's like multiple, it's like one word for multiple meanings. So, but that's like what you live and breathe is just that one class and right.
your in your field and your studies.
Yeah, that's where you do like your projects thing. And like mm-hmm. that. So that dictated everything. So I kind of wish I would have spent a little more time on some of the other classes that are important, but I didn't think they were important at the time. As well as, I wish I would have taken classes that, just like cool classes that they offered. Because I would always take class, like the classes that I just needed an elective, I would take that are super easy. I'd be on Kufers, look up like easiest professor, easiest class.
Yeah.
Is it online? Can I knock it out in 2 weeks and then not have to do any work after that? Mm. Which was good.
You don't really get anything out of that, right? Like no. You don't really get as much from those kinds of classes.
Paying hundreds of dollars.
Right. For nothing.
Just I did it to free up time for my studio and other classes. Whereas there was like this beer class, there was like a wine tasting class, there was a glass blowing class, weightlifting class. Like I wish I would have done something cool to be like, mm-hmm. yo, I know how to glass blow. Like who knows how to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
So I just would have taken more things like that, and I didn't.
I got you. That makes sense.
Because I was solely focused on, like, I just want to do this to get it out of the way.
Yeah, just so you can get it over with, because you have to do it. Another thing where our education systems, they put these requirements in where you have to do these things, and it's kind of like kids are just going to do them because they have to knock them out. Instead of allowing a kid to pick something that he truly wants to do or might really be interested in or it might be, like, a fun thing to learn, you have to get, you know, you have to get your humanities, you have to get your languages, you have to get your maths, and it's just like, I mean, there could be a lot of different ways to go about it, so I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I could have picked the glass blowing, but I picked, like, human development online.
Because right. You felt like you needed to free up the time, though. Like, I...
Yeah, because I also was bad with my time.
Exactly. So yeah, some of it comes back to the personal thing, I guess, you know, personal traits, but still, at the same time, like, it's the system that kind of encourages that at the same time. And the system encourages the late nights. The system encourages, you know, the grinding, and it's tough. So I understand what you're saying for sure. And I get, there is always something to be said for personal discipline. My time management was awful. I you know, I'm one of those people that loves to say I work better under pressure to allow for the procrastination, but that's not a real thing. Like everybody just loves to say that. Time management is crucial. I think that's not to, you know, steal what you said, but I wish that was something I would have worked on more in school too, because now in my professional life it's a little bit different. Like it's a little bit easier because there's not as much going on, it's not as much different things, but I still wish that I was a little bit better with my time. It would make things a little bit less, you know, less stressful, a little bit easier. But you know, you live and you learn. That's something though, stressing to kids though, any young kids listening to this, work on your time management. It's very important, especially if you're going to school. Now I went to school and I played a sport all 4 years, and it was very regimented. The entire school year we were doing stuff. I mean, there was maybe like 2 weeks at the beginning of the year that we weren't playing pickup, but then we would play pickup, you know, a couple days a week. We would lift a couple days a week, and then obviously practices and games start. And then after the season, you're doing the same thing, pickup and games. So my time was so structured that it kind of forced me to be structured. But if I would have been playing a sport, like in a situation like yours, I would have been doing the exact same thing. I would have been just staying up late at night, doing all my work at the last second. Like it's easy to do that, especially for kids who don't have any extra structure already built in. So I just want to stress, you know, I'm trying to, you know, give advice to my younger self and what I, you know, advise my kids, the kids that I coach, kids that are going to school. Time management is crucial. It's probably one of the biggest skills you can learn in school. So definitely something to consider.
I mean, the only regiment mine was like, I have to go to these classes. So I have to be in class at this time. And honestly, any field, you have to deal with it. And that's where it's kind of hurt me, because I would put in so much time, stay up super late, and just work and work and work out this design concept till I like it. And mm-hmm. there's so much value in that and knowledge, and I think you kind of have to go through some of it in school. But now when you're working, you know, people aren't going to pay you to work that long, or they're like, hey, you have 2 days to do this, whereas you're like, whoa, like, I'm used to doing this in like 5 days, or I'm used to like staying up all night for 2 days to do it. But it's like, you're not going to get paid for that, or they don't have money for that.
That's
been a challenge. And so there's a gap there. So you can't just think like, I have all the time in the world, 'cause like that can hurt you later on for sure.
Exactly. And it all depends on, you know, what your goals are in life. And I, you know, I'm big on, you know, living the life that you want to live, and you shouldn't allow, you know, your job to place unnecessary stress in your life. But if you're going to work a job and you're going to, you know, earn the money and be in whatever, you know, career that you're choosing, there's going to be some aspect of that, right? Like, no matter what you do, even at like the stuff that we're trying to do with this extra stuff, you know, the podcasting, making YouTube videos, you know, we may not, it might be self-imposed, but it's still important to give yourself deadlines so you don't just, you know, waste all your time and then just, it just never gets done correctly. Things don't get done, you know, efficiently. It's definitely a crucial life skill for sure. So moving on a little bit then from the college stuff, I know you had a great time there, which I think is important. The most important thing to me is, you know, enjoying the time that you have. So I think that's really cool. I want to talk a little bit about your, abroad experience over in Europe. So just kind of give me the rundown, like just because I know a lot of kids love to travel. A lot of people love to travel. Traveling is huge. Traveling is, I think, a very important thing to do in your life if you want to, you know, you don't have to, but I know a lot of people like it. So tell me a little bit about what, you know, started that, you know, the trip that you went on, you know, why you went, and then just tell me a little bit about it. Just give me a summary. All the places,
yeah, and things like that. That also factored into my college decision was, can I study abroad? And I think in high school I had gone to the DR on a missions trip and had been to Canada once, and that was it. And so I knew Penn State had like an abroad program and Tech had an abroad program. So that was another reason. It was like, okay, I know I want to study abroad, cause I want to experience these things. And it's so important, in architecture, to travel and to be not just see and experience other cultures, but, you know, the buildings and the places there. Like, there's so much outside of the US, like, because the US is so young, and it's so important in architecture and history, and just to go and see these places and experience it is crucial with your own eye. Like, it's not the same because buildings are, they're physical spaces, so it's different looking at it on a piece of paper or on a computer than being there immersed in the culture with the people, seeing the space and that. And I didn't fully understand that at the time. I was like, oh, I just want to travel, and like, it seems like a great opportunity. And so I had my mind set on that. And the great thing is at Tech and potentially some other schools is it's built into the program that your fourth year, since it's a 5-year program, which all professional architecture programs are 5 years, that your fourth year at Tech is your kind of like whatever you want to do year. It's your abroad year. It's, you can stay in Blacksburg. You can go abroad and work wherever you want. You could work locally wherever you want. You could like a externship. You could go study at a different university. And at Tech, we had a fall travel program where you travel, and then we have a residency program fall and spring in Switzerland where you study there and get to travel some. And we also have like near here outside DC, there's another campus that you can study at here and do similar thing like that. So I did the fall travel, which basically meant we just traveled the whole semester, I can't believe I thought I wanted to do the other, like wanted to, I wanted to be there for football season. So I wanted to go in the spring because I was like, I can't miss football senior year, even though I had another year. But all of my friends were going on fall travel, and it was also cheaper than the other thing. So I thought, okay. Yeah, so I did fall travel, and it's basically a program at Tech that's unique to Tech, and I haven't heard of other schools that do it, where we just travel. We met over in Switzerland. We met in Zurich. I went early with my roommates. Two of my roommates were going. And you just pack up a suitcase and we travel on buses and trains. We just hopping from city to city. You know, we're there from one night to four nights, just going all around.
And were you taking classes? Were they teaching you guys as you went? Or it was just strictly a travel?
It was, the class was traveling. The class was walking around these cities, touring buildings, talking about the architecture, talking about the people and the culture. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we would go, we would sketch. Amazing. So we were sketching and photographing So the class was like, was that we had, we had to submit photographs and sketches, and then we had to write a paper on a building. So those are the main classes, kind of like three there. So it was a light semester, but the classes were just being out there, being immersed in everything. And we're just getting to sketch and photograph and talk. And like, that's all like I wanted. I was like, it was the greatest semester, greatest like 3 months ever. And on top, like we had so much free time. Like we'd have days off where it's like, all right, you get the days free, like go do whatever you want. And we're like, all right, we want to go here. Like, oh shoot, I'm behind. I got to do my laundry, you know, right. I got to find a laundromat and figure this out. And so it was amazing. I can't stress or recommend like traveling abroad if you can afford it and if you have the opportunity. And for me, it was also, when will I ever get to travel freely at a very reduced rate, though I'm paying for school at a very reduced rate, to experience all this, to go to 9 countries for 3 months and have no other responsibilities. Like, when will I get to do that again in my life? And I thought, like, I'll probably never be able to do this.
Right.
And though I'm paying for school, like, to be able to do and see what we did, because we're a group of 37 students with some professors, like, we're getting group discounts and things. So if I wanted to do it on my own, there's no way I could do that in Europe. You know, maybe, you know, you could go to other places that are cheap, but to be in Central and Western Europe, I was like, I'll never be able to do this again unless I'm old and I won't be able to walk around.
Exactly. It'd be a whole different experience at that point. I think that's so true. And I think it's such an amazing thing they offered. And obviously, I mean, we clearly can understand that not everybody would be able to afford something like that. Not everybody can afford to go to college. So some of these things, I mean, I'm fully aware that some of the things we're talking about, you know, come from a place of, you know, being privileged enough, you know, to either be able to, you know, borrow the money or, you know, have somebody help you, whatever the case may be. Cause I traveled in Europe too with my basketball team, and we had to raise some money. The school gave us some money, but I, you know, my family had to, you know, help me a lot with that too. So I definitely understand that aspect of it, but I totally agree. If you do get the opportunity and you can afford it, I would recommend it to anybody to take those opportunities every single time. You know what I mean? Just because of the benefit that you'll get from it, especially in a situation where if it's a traveling abroad situation and you're already paying for the education, that, like you said, that was your best experience, maybe like one of your best experiences in your whole college education.
Oh yeah. Time, right? That was by far the best. Cause you're paying the premium for school, and it was honestly, it was more, but it wasn't that much more to do this.
Right.
Cause like if I would have just stayed in Blacksburg and take classes, like I'm still paying a lot.
Exactly.
Like by far the best decision and best thing that I did in my 5 years.
Yeah.
And it was so influential also, like just in my architecture career so far to this point and like experience, because now I have this like memory bank of these places and buildings that I've been and seen. And like, I've learned about all these new artists and architects and like planners and people.
Yeah.
And you just get to see so much. And like you just really, for architecture, you have to get out and you have to travel. You have to see these places.
Right.
You know, even in the US, but outside of the US, like you have to. And it's also, for me, I had never been, I when we first got there to Switzerland, I couldn't get over the fact that I was in another country and they were doing stuff like just like we were doing.
Same, right? Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right.
I couldn't fathom that there's a whole other country that's totally different, yet it's very like similar. So similar to just, they're just living life like we are. I couldn't, it was mind blowing to me. And it took some time to get over that. But I just can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, totally agree. And I had the exact same experience. I mean, even from the time, like you're touching down, things even kind of like look similar. You know what I mean? Like the, you know, obviously the airports looks like the American airports. We got on a bus that looked like American buses. You're on the different side of the road, but I mean, it's things are very, very similar. But it's still cool to see just like a slightly different perspective. It's still like a little bit different. The people are a little bit different. You know, maybe like the customs or, you know, the way people interact, communicate is a little bit different. So it's immensely beneficial. Totally agree. 100%. You said you went to 9 countries. It was 9. What were the countries that you went to?
Yeah. So we started in Switzerland, which by far my favorite. I love Switzerland. That's We were only there for a few days, like maybe 5 days total, two as a group. I was there beforehand with my roommates in Basel. And so that's like my dream is a trip back to Switzerland and just to see more. And so Switzerland, Germany, Austria, and then we went to Slovenia, which beautiful country. It was used to be part of Yugoslavia. And that was a new country. The program switches every year from where you go, like where you start in the route. So past years, they spent like more time in Germany. Our time, we spent more time in Italy. And, but Slovenia, if you want to go somewhere in Europe, that it's extremely safe. It's one of the safest countries there. Everyone is super friendly. Everyone was so friendly and was so happy we were there. As well as like, it's beautiful, like, go to Slovenia. I just can't recommend it. We were only there for a short time.
I've never heard that before. I mean, I've heard of it. I'm just saying, like, I've never heard somebody say, like, this is a place they recommend traveling. That's interesting.
For sure. It's also cheap. So cheap, super safe. And, like, everyone was so friendly, so happy we were there. They couldn't believe that, like, we were these, you know, U.S. students studying here, and they came to, like, Ljubljana, and we're like, I mean, everyone's great. This is awesome. You know, I mean,
that's so cool.
Like, the country's beautiful. And then we went to Italy. And there was an independent travel period. So you had a 10-day independent where you get to go with whoever and do whatever you want. So my roommates and I, we went to London and then Amsterdam. So we went to the Netherlands and England. Nice. And then we went to France and Spain.
Okay. Man, what a trip. What a trip. I mean, talk about like the trip of a lifetime, quite literally. I mean, it's some people, you know, want to see some of those, like one of those countries once in their life, and you got to experience that. So that's, I just think that's really cool. What was your favorite place? Favorite place, if you could pick one. I know it's probably tough, but did you have a favorite?
City?
Yes.
Favorite city?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. Zurich.
Zurich. Okay.
Yeah.
What was it about it that was your favorite?
I mean, I love Basel too, but one, it was, I don't know, I just like the Swiss German culture. Just, I enjoy it. Two, like, they have such a great sense of architecture and design, and it's in everything beyond just buildings. It's in their culture. And it's a beautiful city. There's a river that runs through it, and then there's a lake. The lake was beautiful. And maybe for me, it's because it was like the first city where we met up as a group, and I just had this distinctive memory. We had this night off, and we're like, let's go to the lake. And we're like, okay. And we picked up some like drinks on the way, and then we're at this like little park that is across this bridge, and then you can go out into the lake. And I just remember being there, and it was like super beautiful. We're just hanging out, and you could see in the distance, because Zurich's on the northern end, like you could see in the distance the Alps and just these massive mountains, and you could see the snow on top, but it was so far away, and I knew it was so far away. And I don't know, that was just like my favorite memory, was like, I'm swimming in this beautiful lake. I can't believe I'm like, this is my semester, and there's these amazing, like, the largest things I've ever seen so far away, and there's snow on top, but it's like 90 some here.
It's crazy. It's crazy. The world is amazing. I mean, it's just my favorite thing about traveling, and what I, you know, would stress to anybody that wants to do it, is just what you can see can really like change your entire perspective on this planet we're living on, right? It's just how beautiful things are. Because obviously America has, you know, great things to offer. You know, we have some beautiful places, but there's just some places on Earth that are uncomparable to anything here, you know? So I think it's really important to see things like that, because obviously it's burned into your memory. You're going to have that memory for the rest of your life, and it made an impact on you. And I think that pretty much everybody who travels, if they're willing to embrace, you know, the you know, going to a new place is really the hardest part of it. And then once you're there, you can just learn and experience and get so much from it. I think it's so important, such a cool thing to do to really bring us all together, right? Because like you said, you already had an appreciation for some of those cultures, but I'm sure after going, you had now have even greater appreciation for them.
Oh,
correct?
Even greater, for sure. Right. And just like, and different ways of different ways of living mm-hmm. and things that are different there that I'm like, that's, I like that better. That makes yeah. more sense to me. You right. know,
you can bring that into your own life.
Like there's country, like they tip differently and mm-hmm. They just do things slightly different in different countries. And
right.
then I come back and I question, like, why is it like this here? You know, I don't think it should be that way here in the US. Like, why is it like that? And so then there's several things that I'm like, it's better that way in these countries in Europe, not here.
Yep. I mean, it's obviously, like, I'm happy to be living where we live. Like, we've talked about it. I love the central PA area. We have a lot of great freedoms here in this country, you know? But there's no doubt that some of the ways of life that we have adopted here in America are maybe not the healthiest, maybe not the right way that people should be living. And you can really see that when you go to maybe simpler cultures, you know, more traditional established cultures that have been around for much longer than our American system here. You can really appreciate some of those simpler things a lot more, I think.
Yeah. And I think it allows you to appreciate it and allows you to question. Like, I think we need to be questioning a lot of things. And that's, I think it's just ingrained in me from like studying architecture. Cause we're always like it's so great in so many ways to me. And I just love that we are trained to not just see design, but like, since design is for people, that we have to observe and understand how people work and like what culture and context they're from. And so we have to observe and analyze and take into account all these different things about humans and how we live and work and all that to create a space for them and in that context. And so it, like, we're trained to like look at the world in a different way than some mm-hmm. other people. And so, but we're also trying to like question the state of that, like question, like, why is that like that? Should it be that way for whatever it is? And, you know, maybe challenge that, not that there's a right or wrong, but still questioning and challenging to maybe like, maybe there is a better solution for this, maybe not, yep. but I still think it's important to be questioning a lot of things mm-hmm. in whatever it is, in like a systematic way or in a personal individual way of how you do something yep. or how you live.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. I would take it a step further to say question literally everything that you're taught, everything that's presented to you, everything that, you know, teachers or professors, parents, friends, mentors are teaching to you. There's a lot of value. You have to learn from other people and you have to learn from this, you know, resources that we have, but you have to question things because you don't want to just be a sheep, you know, going along your whole life, just everything that people tell you you're believing, whether it's, you know, a way of life, the way something is supposed to look, something you're doing in your career, your job, a building you're designing, whatever the case is, you need to question things so you can make sure that you are doing things the right way, or at least a way that resonates more with like your soul and like how you see things. You know what I mean? And I think that's something that a lot of, you know, kids maybe and people in general, especially in this country, kind of miss. We don't question enough things. I mean, like when you see something that's wrong, you got to question, or something that doesn't feel right, even if it's just like, man, there's something off about that. Sometimes it's good to question it. So I think that's a really good tip. Really good tip.
Yeah. And further than just questioning, like you want to dig down and understand the reason why, like, why do you do something? Why is that being done? Because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of, there's a TED talk about this by Simon Sinek. And I was actually talking to one of my roommates about it, about companies knowing like what they do and less companies know how they do it. And then the very few know why they do it. Like in architecture and design, like you have to have a why and reason in so many things, because like, you know, it's a form of art and there's a lot of subjectivity. And so people always then are like, oh, I don't like that. Or, ooh, that's not good. And you're like, okay, you cannot like it, but why do you not like it? Because not right. you saying like, I don't like that, it's not helpful. That doesn't lead to any
better discussion. There's no benefit.
So right. There's obviously a reason why you don't like it. And so like dig down and think like, why don't I like it? And what's that reason? Rather than just like, I like it or that's cool. Well, okay, like what's the reason it's cool? And so like in architecture, if you're like, oh, that building's cool, and you're like, why? And you're like, you'll point to like, oh, because like that window or something. And then you can ask more of the why and questions, and you can break it down into like the essence of what architecture is and mm-hmm. break it down into, it could be the lighting, proportion, form, symmetry, like the structure, like it could be so many different things. So that's just an architecture example that you can break it down further based off just someone who may not be questioning it fully, may not have the knowledge, but they everyone has their opinion and, you know, they're allowed to.
Right. I absolutely love that you just said that, because especially with this day and age we're living in right now, everybody has an opinion on everything, right? It seems like everybody we talk to has an opinion on everything. I'm the same way. I love to talk about every crazy thing that's going on. So it's just, I mean, I can't stress it enough how important it is to bring value while you're questioning things. I mean, it's just, it's important to question, but it's also important to be a positive force in the world as well. You don't want to be a negative complaining force. Doesn't help anybody. Doesn't help you. It's not a good look. So next, just want to transition a little bit. So you obviously had a great college experience, great studying abroad experience. We'll transition into your professional life a little bit. So towards the end of your college experience, what was your time like in the job search? I know you've had a lot of ups and downs with this stuff. You talk about it a lot. And I know a lot of people are in similar boats. I mean, I had a lot of friends that struggled right out of school, or maybe they didn't struggle right out of school, but then down the line, they were struggling to find different jobs. The job search thing is crazy stressful. You know, it's a very complex thing and everybody's is different. But tell me a little bit about your job searching experience while you were in school. We'll start with that, like towards the end of your school life.
Yeah. The early spring semester, my fifth year, kind of was when I started thinking about I need a job. And the career fair at Tech is like in late February. So that's kind of how most architecture schools are for some reason. It's kind of later than some other ones. Like usually some programs have things in the fall. But I only thought about it because I was like, these firms are coming. Like I got to get some portfolio together to like do it, like talk to these people. And then I had lined up a couple firm visits that spring break. But shortly after that, I just didn't have time to commit to a job search and finish out my thesis. Just didn't have the time. And it's kind of at Tech, like that's most people don't have a job. I mean, if you have people who have a job when they graduate is from like an internship. Most people aren't like getting one somehow that year and finishing their thesis. Like most people graduate and actually most people graduate and then stay for a few weeks to like, or half of the summer to finish their thesis and their thesis book and then like job search. I didn't do that, but I knew I was going to graduate and not have a job when I was fine with that. And my parents were okay with that. And so graduated and I still had graduated, but I still had to finish my thesis book. So when I was at home, I was still working on it because it had to be done then like a month later from graduation. And then it was like just my job was job searching that summer. I thankfully finally landed some interviews later in August and then had gotten a job later in September. But from June through August, June, July, and August was all literally just emailing people.
Not to interrupt you, so you graduated in May, and then this is like June, July, and August is your job search, is what you're saying? Or is this the before your senior year? Yeah. This was after your graduation?
No, this was after graduation.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so this was, I mean, that's what it was. I'd wake up, I was just researching firms, just different architecture forums, websites. I was on Google Maps, type in architecture firm, architecture, just like over different cities, like hovering over DC, Baltimore, Philly, like just literally it. And then and just literally like
a city. You wanted to be in a city is what you were kind of looking for because of the type of work you wanted to do.
Yeah. There are firms like obviously not in the bigger cities, but the type of work is very limited. And, if there was like a job I was very interested in Central PA, like I would have looked there.
Right.
It's just tough. Like the majority of the firms are in the larger cities here. There's good ones in smaller cities too. But I was primarily looking New York, Boston, New York, Philly, Baltimore, DC. Northeast, Mid-Atlantic. Like, and that's the nice thing about Central, being from Central PA, like there's, I mean, like 5-6 major huge cities within 5 hours of us.
Right.
Like all of those.
It's a good central location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of looking all over, and then I even extended further, like Richmond, Charlotte, because I wasn't getting any traction. And just had a spreadsheet, of the firm, where they're located, who I contacted, when I contacted, when I need to follow up, and just right. all summer going through this list. And so it just became a cycle of, all right, I'm emailing or reaching out to these people this day. I'm researching more places. Tomorrow I got to do these places in this day. And yeah. I just did that weeks and weeks and weeks, 6-7 hours a day. That was my job. And finally,
it's like a full-time job almost, trying to find one, right?
Crazy. Yeah, because I'm not just looking at firms. You know, I'm looking for firms I'm interested in. I'm looking exactly. up alumni.
You were going to settle. You didn't want to settle.
Is there? Yeah, and like, is there? Do I have some sort of connection to this firm already that could help me out? So I'm trying to do even deeper research into like mm-hmm. who I should contact there. Like, is there right. an alumni? Do I know someone who knows someone? And I mean, there's great resources out there too. Like LinkedIn is, I highly recommend using LinkedIn. Like, create a LinkedIn profile. And people think it's stalkerish or weird that like it notifies you when someone looks at your profile. Like, just get over it. It's fine. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I was looking at everyone's. Right. I mean, I was looking at everyone's. I look at like every person from the whole firm.
Yeah.
And you just like, it's not a big deal. No. But
I mean,
and
then you want people to look at them.
It's huge, because then you get to see like where they went to school, where they worked previously, who they know, who you may know. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. You can like filter by, you can like type in a firm, filter by city, or type in a name. Like, it was really good resource in finding firms, finding a person I want to contact. I definitely recommend it. And finally August came, and then I started getting some interviews, had a couple offers. They all happened to be in, DC, Maryland-ish area. Mm-hmm. It kind of came down to like Philly and the DC, Maryland-ish area. And so, yeah, I accepted a job down in, just outside DC in Virginia. Okay. And I've been working there for 2.5 years.
Gotcha.
An architecture engineering firm.
Okay. So just to kind of like wrap up like the job search, it was a pretty intensive thing, right? And it was something that you obviously, your situation is a little bit different. Maybe your field, it might be a little bit different than some who are looking for jobs a little bit more, specific, obviously, the type of work. It's clearly you went to school for that specific degree. You wanted to work in specific types of architecture. So it was a grind, but it was obviously something that you just had to do every single day. And eventually it paid off. What would you say, like how many interviews did you get, just to like kind of put things in perspective? Because I know, like, personally, I applied for, I don't know the number, I couldn't remember the specific number, but I got a fraction. Like, it was a small fraction. Sometimes I didn't even get replies from jobs. Dude, so like, what would you say? You probably had to put out feelers to a bunch of different people, and how many, you know, what was the ratio to reaching out versus what came back for an interview, if that makes sense?
5% maybe.
It's crazy. But I think that's something a lot of people could identify with.
I interviewed maybe 6 or 7 places, and I happened to get like 4 or 5 offers.
Okay.
But if you break it down by firms, and then like some firms have different locations, so that's basically right. kind of like a separate firm. I mean, it was well over 100 for sure.
To get like I had 6 or 7
out to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I received a good amount of responses. The response mm-hmm. rate was probably, I don't know, I probably heard from like 30 to maybe like 40. It was definitely okay. a good response rate. And cause I was definitely targeting alumni. Right. And so it's easier to get a response when you have someone from the same school, and like in the subject line, you literally put like Virginia Tech graduate or school grad, like whatever your school is, put graduate in the mm-hmm. subject, so they know immediately like that's where you graduated from.
Right.
Like, just they're gonna there's just that connection, so don't be afraid to use that. Don't be afraid to use your alumni network.
Yeah.
Or don't be afraid to, like, if you know someone who knows someone, like, throw out their name. Don't be afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But it was a grind for sure. Huge.
Yeah. You gotta put that in. I think that's just something I wanted to highlight again, because I know there's probably gonna be a lot of people who go through similar things. Mine was not as extensive. I didn't apply to 100 different places or reach out to even 100 places, but I mean, it's a similar percentage. I mean, I probably applied to I don't know, maybe like 15 to 20 jobs, you know, towards close to my graduation. And it was not even, I mean, the same, probably the exact same percentage. I think I maybe had like 500, well, it'd be a smaller percent, a bigger percentage, but it was a small percentage that was successful, if that makes sense. So I think that's something a lot of people go through. So I just wanted to, you know, emphasize that you had to grind a little bit, but it paid off in the long run. You just had to do what you had to do. You stuck with it. And it, you know, eventually you did get a job. Now I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, where you started working. What was it like?
Hey guys, thanks for listening. It really means a lot. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you gained some value out of it. I know we had a lot of fun in just talking about these topics. And definitely go follow Cody on Twitter, RealDeal52. Follow him on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, Real Deal Radio, as well as subscribe to his channel and the All In Network. Links are in the show notes below and in the description, as well as follow Design Daily and subscribe to the channel. Thanks so much. Bye.